Good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are. You're welcome to another edition of our captivating monthly meeting. It's always a pleasure having to sit down here and have a conversation with you, both men and women, on this monthly meeting. So, can I just ask you for the next few moments to actually, let's thank God before we do anything. So I'm just going to start with an opening prayer and then we'll start the day. Father, we want to say thank you for today. Wherever you are, can you just give God thanks that you are alive, you are well, and even if you're sick in your body, still thank him because he is the God who can heal. He is the God who is known as our healer. Father, we want to say thank you for today. Thank you for your grace and your love. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your might. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your glory, which has been made manifest towards us. Father, we commit today into your hands as we start today. Let your presence rest and abide with us in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Once again, welcome everyone to today's captivating meeting. Can I just ask you to take a few moments, a few seconds actually, to share the video, to like, and make sure you hit. Press a comment on there. So I'm going to take my time, not my time, I'm going to take a few moments to do the same, and I'm going to share this on my Facebook page. So let's all do this together. You send it to your friends on WhatsApp, send it everywhere. Amen. Amen. I hope you've had a good month so far and a good year. Good morning, Gabriella. Good morning, Naomi, Calista, Jackie, Pastor D. So lovely to see you all this morning. Let's share. I'm just going to share the video. Whilst I'm doing that, can I just ask you to type in the comment section what you think rest is all about? What does rest mean to you? Is rest just chilling and sleeping and eating all day? Or what is rest to you? Just type in the comment section. Type in the comment section. What does rest mean to you? Share to the page. Just bear with me a second. Right. So, I'm going to have a quick read and see if anyone has put down what rest means to them. Good morning or good afternoon, Sister Ivy. I'm sure there might be a little bit of a delay, but can I just have one or two people write what rest means to them? Recovery. I like that. So, when you rest, you recover. That's why when you go to the doctor and you say, "Oh, doctor, I've got a cold, I've got a cough, whatever, runny nose, I've got a stomach bug," as they say, and they tell you you need to have some rest. You need to take some time off your busy schedule, take some time off work. You know what? This year has been a marathon. This year has been. No, as they say, I never experienced it. 2020 has been a very busy year. It's been a very emotional year. And then when God gave me this theme for this theme for this month, the theme of rest, I was like, yes, actually, we really do need to rest emotionally. And I know there has been, we've been in lockdown for a few months and people have been stuck at home. But even in that time or in that period, people still were not really resting. So we're going to discover what it means to really rest God's own way, the benefits of rest, and what good it can do for us. Okay, so Moni says recovery. I thought that was Pastor D. So Moni, because that's Olajide. Moni says recovery. So true. Jackie says peace. Yes, when you rest, you have peace, and it's good to rest in a place of tranquility. You can't rest when there is so much noise. Unless you're Jesus who was sleeping in a boat and there was a storm going on. But it's good to take time out and rest in a place of peace and in a place of tranquility. And resting helps restore your peace of mind as well. Calista says restoration. Definitely, when you rest, the things that you have lost are restored. Even your body cells, when you go to bed and sleep, your body repairs itself whilst you sleep. That's why sleep and rest is very important. You can't run on a marathon. Nobody does that and lives for long. Gabriella Grace says to cease from work. Yes, I love that. Even God himself rested. The Bible says that when he made the world and then on the seventh day, he after all the work that he had done, God rested. So God does rest. And there are many times in scripture when you see Jesus Christ, after a long day, he would go away from the crowd and he would just be alone to rest and to recover. Johanna Thompson says to refresh and recover. Yes, when you've had a good sleep, people can see on your face. And then when you've not had a good rest, you go to work grumpy, you got eye bags, you're complaining, you're just a little bit, you're just a grump when you haven't rested. I'm that way when I've not rested. So when I want to rest, I announce to the house, it's my time to rest. No one should come and bug me, and everybody knows not to disturb me. And my husband is the same as well. We have to respect everybody's rest time. Right. So good morning, Esther. Good morning, Pastor Tosin. So we're going to crack on straight to today. Like I said, if you haven't shared the video, please, please share the video. Not because we want people to just, we want numbers, but we believe that God has something in store for us today. Right. I'm going to jump straight through to my scriptures this afternoon. Now, I'm going to draw quite a few examples from the life of Jesus. And like I said, we're not going to spend the full 2 hours today. We're just going to spend about an hour or so just chatting, chit chat, and we'll call it a day. And hopefully you can imbibe these things that you have learned in your daily life. Now, one of the things I want to focus on in today's topic of rest is, I'm not just talking about the physical rest that we have, because like you say, you heard at the very beginning, with lockdown, most of us were not going anywhere. And even in that case, we were still bogged down. We were not having the rest that we needed. So I'm going to read from the book of John chapter 8. John chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. I'm going to read a few scriptures from John. I have many examples to give us this afternoon / morning, wherever you are. And I'm going to really expound on them for the next hour or so. So John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Okay. This is a very popular story. It's the story of the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. And the Bible talks about how the Pharisees and the scribes, they brought this woman, I don't know where the man was, they brought this woman as though she was the only one who was caught in adultery. Like, if you catch somebody in the act of adultery, surely there must have been two people, or in some cases more than two. But the Bible says that they brought this woman who had been caught in adultery, and they brought her to the very center of Jesus. And they said unto Jesus Christ, this is from verse 4, it says, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery." And then they begin to tell Jesus what the law says. They begin to, in quotes, preach at Jesus. They begin to tell him what the Moses had said, what the law has said, what God's command has been concerning adultery. The Bible says that in verse 6, in the latter part of verse 6, I love this, and this is what I want to bring out from my first point about rest. It says that whilst they were talking, verse 6 says they were testing him, they were asking him questions, they were like, "What do you say?" They were bringing out theology, bringing out Bible verses. Does that sound familiar, like what happens today in social media, where everyone is trying to show that they know the latest theology, they know the latest revelation, and everyone is just bloviating and bragging? You don't always have to engage. Save your mind, save your sanity. And the Bible says that, you know what? Jesus Christ stooped down. He, meaning that he was either sitting down or he was standing, but this time he changed his position. You have to change your position sometimes when you have a lot of things from the outside bombarding your heart and bombarding your mind. The Bible says you guard your heart with all diligence. You have to be so jealous for your heart. You have to be so jealous for your space. You have to be so jealous for your sanity. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. As though he did not hear. Ladies and gentlemen, can you act as though there are certain things that you did not hear? Certain rumors, certain gossip, you know, save your heart, save your mind the heartache. It's not everything you need to respond to. And the Bible says that in verse 7, they continued pressing on him. They continued bothering him. And the only reason Jesus Christ answered was just because he wanted to make a point and obviously help this woman. He wasn't responding to them because he was bothered. He was trying to make a point to satisfy his own ego about what he knows about the law. The only reason, in my understanding, as to why Jesus Christ answered these people was because he cared about the woman, not because he was bothered about their theology. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ raised himself up, and here is his answer. He said, "He who is without sin amongst you, let him throw a stone at her." Jesus Christ did not respond and say in the book of Exodus or in the book of Matthew or in the book of Revelation, "This is what the Hebrew says, this is what the Greek says, this is the revelation I received last night." Jesus Christ did not bother himself with all that. Do you know why? Because he knows that the Bible says that their hearts have been hardened and the God of this world has blinded their eyes, and they may not see the truth of the gospel. And so Jesus Christ realized that I am going to expend a lot of my energy exchanging words with these people who will not pay my words any attention. And he just ended the conversation by saying, "He who's without sin cast the first stone." And verse 8 tells us what he did. It says that, "And again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground." He just ignored them once again. Ladies and gentlemen, whoever is watching, can you learn to just stoop down and write on the ground? Learn to stoop down and write on the ground. Learn to stoop down. It's not everything you have to respond to. It's not every argument you have to engage in. Rest your mind, rest your soul, and rest your spirit. The more you speak, you know, your words are life. The Bible talks about how your words are spirit. Your words are spirit and life. The more you speak, the more life goes out of you. Have you noticed that when you're ill in your body? Excuse me, I need to drink some water. Excuse me, sorry about that. When you are sick in your body, have you realized that you don't have the energy to engage in arguments? Have you realized that when you're sick in your body, you don't have the grace, should I use the word grace, or the oomph to argue if you've got a spouse? The things that your spouse would have done to you on a normal day, maybe your spouse kept their socks somewhere, kept their shoes somewhere, or your children are running around screaming. Have you realized that when you're ill, you don't have the energy, you don't have the strength to respond by speaking those words? But when you're agile, when you're well, you can shout from upstairs to downstairs to say, "Can you guys just stop making us?" But when you're sick, you can't. Because you know what? Life, your words and the breath that comes out of your mouth, out of your heart, is actually life. So can I ask us today to learn to stoop to the ground and not respond? Stoop to the ground and act like you cannot hear. Learn to wade the noise away from your vicinity. It's okay. It's okay not to respond to every argument. It's okay for people around you to say things that are, in quotes, argumentative, and not respond. It's okay. Of course, if somebody's life is in danger, you have to step in, like this woman, like how he stepped in with this woman's situation. But learn to choose your battles. That's the first thing I want to say to us today about rest. Now, the next thing I want to speak to us about rest is understand. Actually, let me give you the Bible verse, and then I'll tell you what it is. This is John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 14. Verse 15, sorry. So before I read John chapter 6, verse 15, sorry about that, John 6, 15, I'm going to tell you what happened. Jesus Christ had just done a very mighty miracle, as he always does. And I just believe that whoever is watching, believing God for a miracle, especially a financial miracle in your life, that God will come through for you in the name of Jesus. John chapter 6 is a story, very popular story, about how Jesus Christ fed 5,000 people with five barley loaves and two small fish. And the Bible talks about how he did this miracle. And in verse 14, the Bible says that they saw the miracles that Jesus Christ had done. And they said, this is truly the prophet who is coming to the world. Verse 15 is where I'm going. The Bible says that, and then Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king. And he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. I'm going to read it again. John chapter 6, verse 15. Therefore, when Jesus had perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to a mountain alone by himself. Do you know what Jesus Christ just did? He just said no. It is okay to say no. No is not a sin. No is not a swear word. Don't succumb to pressure because you want to please people. Do you realize that many people have gone to an early grave because they did not understand that no is actually a language? There are many ways you can say no. I'm not saying that you have to be very brash and rude in your manner of saying no. There are different ways to say no. For example, somebody asks you to take on a post that you know that you don't have the capacity to do or to take on. I don't mean somebody is pushing you to be a better version of you. I don't mean that type. But I mean the kind of situation that you know that you were not created for. So Jesus Christ knew that he was not supposed to be the king of 5,000 men. He was supposed to be the king of kings. You know, this was a coronation that was going to limit his destiny. This is a guy asking you out to date him. And you know that this guy, I'm sorry, but he doesn't cut the standard. And what is the standard? The standard is not what the world says. It's not, oh, he has to have X amount in his account. Those are carnal standards. Our standards as Christians is found in the word of God. So any man who falls short of those standards, and vice versa, if you're a man, any woman who falls short of those standards is a no-no for you. I'm not speaking about carnal, about their body size, their figure, or their job. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Do they cut the standard of the word of God? If the answer is no, then you should tell them no. It's okay to say no. There are ways to say no. I'm sorry that I would have loved to, but I'm really sorry, but I can't. But you need to make it very clear that I cannot. Somebody say I cannot. No, 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 no. Guard your heart. And the Bible says that he departed. And you know what? When you say no to somebody, when you say no to a situation, don't just hang around there, because pressure would make you say yes later on. So somebody's trying to pressure you into sleeping with them before you're married, or, you know, even as a married person, you've got somebody in your vicinity who is outside, who is not your spouse, asking you to sleep with them, and you want to hang around them and just keep on saying no, you will fall. God forbid. So it's not just enough for you to say no. Like Samson, when he was on the laps of Delilah and he was messing about with her and saying, okay, no, this is the secret to my strength. That is the secret to my strength. And he carried on staying in that vicinity. It was only a matter of time he gave in to the pressure. The Bible says that Samson's spirit became so vexed to the point of death. When you have said no to a situation, when you have said no to a certain type of pressure, the right thing for you to do is to exit. The Bible says, flee all appearances of evil. That is how you can rest. Some people don't have rest because they have said yes to so many things and their life is just in tatters. Learn to say no. No is not a swear word. It's okay. The next thing I want to speak to us about rest is from John chapter 7, verse 8. So for those of you who know me, I love to use scriptures to back up my points so that I'm not just saying things from thin air. The Bible or the word of God is our standard. John chapter 7, verse 8. This was when the time of the feast of the Passover had come. And then they were asking Jesus Christ, are you going to go for the feast? And verse 8 gives us the answer, even though he ended up going later on. Verse 8 and verse 9 of John chapter 7, it says that, Jesus Christ said, you go up to this feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come. And verse 9 says that, and when he had said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. Jesus Christ said the feast which he had to go for, the feast of the tabernacles, was at hand. The feast that the Jews had to go for. But Jesus Christ himself, like I said, he ended up going. But at that point in time, he said, I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not fully come. And he remained in Galilee. Do you realize that it's not every invitation you have to accept? I'm going to say this again. It's not every invitation you have to say yes to. Your peace of mind and your sanity is important. I am not encouraging us not to. The Bible says we should rejoice with those that rejoice and we should mourn with those that mourn. But I want us to, you know, there is a balance to these things. You can't go for every conference. You can't go for every birthday party. You can't go for every service. I know this might sound like I'm preaching heresy, but go to church. That's not the point I'm trying to make. But the point I'm trying to make is, can you have times, schedule times in your life where you are actually busy doing nothing? And do you realize that for you not to attend something, you don't have to have a reason? So if somebody invites me to come for their, I don't know, for their whatever it is, I don't want to see and give any examples. I don't have to have a reason not to go. So I don't have to not go for your thing because I am working. I don't have to not go for your birthday or for your whatever because I'm taking my children for football. It's okay for me not to go to your thing because I just want to stay in my bed and lie down and do nothing. I don't always have to have a reason for why I don't want to attend a thing. Guard your space and guide your heart. I understand the place of sacrifice. Jesus Christ showed the example of when he made so many sacrifices and he went to places that were out of his radar when he really shouldn't have been going because of sacrifice. So I am not knocking the place of sacrifice. I am not knocking the place of going out of your way. The Bible makes it very clear how there was a man who was laid, the man who was on the floor in the book of Luke, where the priest and the Levite passed him. But the Bible says a Samaritan man was on his way somewhere and he stopped and he helped this man who was laid, who was about to die, who was left on the road to die. This man stopped his journey and he made a sacrifice and he went out of his way to take the man, to bind up his wounds, to pour oil and wine and to take him to an inn. So I understand the place of sacrifice. I'm not saying don't sacrifice for your friends and for relationships, but also it's okay not to go everywhere, and it's okay for you not to have a valid reason. It's okay. The Bible says that he remained in Galilee. He remained where he was. And I hope somebody's getting blessed. I can't see the comments on YouTube, so I hope you're getting blessed. Now, the next thing I want to say about rest can be found in John chapter 4, verses 7 to 8. For the sake of time, you don't have to turn there. I will just read it out in your hearing. Actually, let me have a quick sneak into YouTube to see what they're saying, as my husband does. My husband says, let me see what they're saying in the comment section. I love my husband. Oh, just a diversion. I love my husband. He sets everything up for me without me asking. He's always looking after me. So please give him a shout out. I love you, Bo. Thank you for all that you do for me. So the next thing I want to say about rest is, you know, us as women, we like to show that we are virtuous. You know that Proverbs 31 woman? I don't know if she existed because the Bible did not give her a name. The Bible just gives her the virtuous woman. The Bible talks about Esther, Naomi. The Bible talks about Ruth. But this virtuous woman, the Bible wouldn't give her a name. I'm not saying she does not exist. Maybe she existed. I don't know. But sometimes you and I use the virtuous woman as our standard when she does not even have a name. The Bible is full of many examples of women that have names. Can we start off with those women? Can we start off emulating those women who have names? Yes, Proverbs 31 woman is good. But even her, even the Proverbs 31 woman, Bible says that she had maid servants, meaning that she had people who were helping her. So ladies, men, learn the power of delegation. It's not okay for you to be Superman. It is not okay for you to be Superwoman. When God made you, he did not make you as a superhuman. He made you as a human. And as human beings, we have limitations. Now, let me show you what Jesus Christ did when it came to the power of delegation. I'm going to read two scriptures to you. You don't have to turn there. John chapter 4. Verses 7-8. This is the story of the Samaritan woman. Jesus Christ said to her, "Give me a drink." Jesus Christ did not go and start hustling and start getting himself a drink. He asked somebody to give him a drink. And the Bible says that for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Jesus Christ did not go into the city himself to buy food. He delegated. You're not showing your strength by not delegating. It can be a sign of weakness because you want to prove to everyone that you can do it all. Nobody can do it all. Even Jesus Christ, on his way to the cross, the Bible says that Simon of Cyrene helped him to carry his cross. If our Lord and Savior needed help, how much more you and I? When Jesus Christ was at the wedding of Canaan and he was going to turn water into wine, he told the servants to fill water pots with water. Jesus Christ did not say, "I want to show you that I am all that." He did not go and start carrying pots of water and start pouring them into jars. No, he delegated. He asked them. Mary delegated. She said, "Do whatever he tells you to do, do." It's okay to delegate. It's okay to go to Bella or Pastor Kafaya, or whoever does all these catering businesses. Sorry, I shouldn't have called any names, but you know yourselves. It's okay to make some orders and say, "You know what? This month is a very busy month for me. I'm having a baby. I'm pregnant." Not me. "I'm pregnant. I need this. Please, could you help me? And I will pay you." It's okay for you to get people to come into your house. Get cleaners that you trust to clean your house for you. Don't try and do everything and then you fall ill. There is something my husband always tells me. He tells me to pace myself. And so what happens is that sometimes I have a day off and I have my plans. I want to clean the house. I want to cook this. I want to cook that. And at the end of the day, I'm like, "Oh," I'm like walking around like a zombie. And he's like, "What are you doing? Couldn't you have paced yourself? Why do you have to do everything in one chunk?" And sometimes we just do these things to make ourselves happy. At what cost? Learn to delegate. Another thing that I want to teach us about rest is sleep. Sleep. I know people say that, you know, that those who attain things in life, they don't sleep. Ask my husband. I love my sleep. People ask me, "Paj, what's the secret of your freshness?" Apart from the glory of God and having my husband who cares for me, I don't mess about with my sleep. I tell my husband, "I'm going to sleep at this time. Nobody should wake me up." And my husband doesn't wake me up. I tell my children, "Mommy is going to sleep. If there's any emergency, please reach out to your dad." Sometimes I don't tell him that I've told them that instruction and he's wondering why they're coming to disturb him. But I tell them, "Don't come and disturb mommy. Mommy really needs to sleep." And there are times where I hear them knocking on my door. It is vain for you to rise up early and sit up late. It is vain. It is not ideal. It says, "For he gives his beloved sleep." If you can't sleep at night, I'll speak to you about people who can't sleep at night when we get towards the end. If I forget, somebody please remind me. But if you struggle to sleep at night and you wake up, that's not the time to remember all the housework you need to do. That's not the time to start eating heavy foods or doing all those things. If at all you have to do anything, pray. I am one who advocates for nighttime prayer. So I'm a fan of nighttime prayer. But there's a way to do nighttime prayer and there is a time for it. If you have certain days in the week where you have, maybe if you want, and you're one who is into nighttime prayers, you've got Friday, you've got Saturday night, you've got Thursday. There are certain nights you can walk your way, you can walk it around the weekends where you can spend all night in a vigil. Okay, it's good to have vigils. Spend all night in the vigil praying to God. But during the weekday, if you know you've got work, it's okay, still okay to pray at night. I don't want to shake any tables here, because that's between you and God. But all I'm trying to say is, you know, he gives his beloved sleep. So that's between you and God. And obviously, the instruction of God, that God gives you, is above every other instruction. So please listen to whatever instruction God has given you about nighttime prayers. Another thing I want to speak to you about rest or taking care of yourself is, it's okay for you to be sick. Now, let me explain what I mean. Let me explain what I mean. Right, but it's okay for you to be sick. I mean, like, you know, it's not a sin. It's not a sin. That's what I'm trying to say. The Bible says that the man who was born blind, Jesus, the disciples asked him who had sinned. You're not sick because you have sinned in some cases. And so what I've found out is that some people don't like taking medicine. They don't like going to the doctor, because they feel like, as a Christian, I shouldn't be ill. I shouldn't have a cold. I shouldn't have a runny nose. Of course, we wage war. Sickness is not of God. God does not afflict us with sickness. In fact, the Bible says, is anyone amongst you sick? Let them go to the elders, and they will lay hands on you, and they will pray for you. So we don't embrace sickness. Okay, we don't accept sickness. We fight actively against sickness by our lifestyle and living a life of prayers to God. But peradventure, you happen to be ill. It doesn't mean you have sinned against God. It doesn't mean that God is punishing you. For example, another example of somebody who was ill was Job. The Bible says that Job was upright and he was perfect, but yet he was ill. It's okay to go to the GP. It's okay. I know, you know, we don't like NHS or whatever, but, you know, we are here for a reason. I'm a GP myself, and I love it when patients come to see me. I love it when I can chat with them and make them feel better. We do make a difference. So please go to your GP, go to your doctor if you're ill. I wasn't feeling too well some days ago, and I was sitting down there diagnosing myself and treating myself, and my husband, who happens to be a reverend, said, you have to make an appointment with the GP. So a GP too needs a GP. Pastors need doctors. And so my husband said, you are going to make an appointment with the GP. And I was trying to avoid it, and I was trying to study, and I was trying to make an appointment with my GP. And I, as a GP, could not get an appointment with my own GP. See the irony. And so my husband insisted, and he said, you will call your GP. And so first thing in the morning, at 8 o'clock in the morning, how the system works, where you have to be the first person on the queue, I called my GP, and the line says, you are number 8 on the queue. You have to wait for 15 minutes. And so I waited on the phone for 15 minutes, and I finally got my appointment, and I told them what the problem was, and problem solved. You know, I'm well. The Bible says that in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, these are the words of Jesus Christ in red. Mark chapter 2, verse 17. When Jesus Christ heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus Christ did not say, you just, every time you're sick, you run to your pastor. Please, wisdom. Wisdom. The Bible says, in all you're getting, get understanding. Science came from God. The brain, the cells, the neurons, the arteries, the veins, everything, the ligaments, you know, the tendons, the bones, the muscle, the nervous system, the digestive system, you name it, it came from God. So science and God are not in some form of war, where we are binding the doctors and binding the scientists. I saw something on one of the ladies that I follow, Pastor Omobola. She's a doctor, and she says we should stop binding the doctors. And she said a story. She was given an example about how people will give testimonies and say, "Oh, I was in labor, and the doctor said I was going to have a cesarean, and we rebuked the doctors, and glory to God, the baby came out okay." I am not knocking you if you have a normal delivery, but if you have to have a cesarean operation, please have a cesarean operation. Is it worth it, you dying? Is it worth it, your child dying? Is it worth it making your husband a widower because you were trying to prove a point that you gave birth to a child naturally? Science is there for a reason. First Timothy 5 verse 23, Paul says that he was talking to Timothy and he said, don't just drink water, but a little alcohol for your stomach's sake. I'm not talking about you going around drinking alcohol. This was a specific problem. So this is not your confirmation for you to go around and start drinking alcohol. This was a particular problem that he was addressing and said, AKA, take medicine for your stomach and for your frequent infirmities. He did not say drink anointing oil. He did not say, Timothy, every time you wake up, lay hands on your stomach. Those things are good. I do them myself. And there are certain things, there are certain ailments and sicknesses that medicine cannot cure. And I know that, and I am a testimony to that, that there are certain things that need the power of God. But why in quotes, waste the power of God when you can take paracetamol for a headache? Why disturb your pastor and say, pastor, pray for me, I have a headache, when you can just take paracetamol and go to bed and nap for an hour? Why waste everybody's time? The final example I want to give you about taking medicine and seeking medical help and speaking to your doctor is from 2 Kings 20 verse 7. Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and they took it and laid it to the boil, and he recovered. This was King Hezekiah. Isaiah did not lay hands on him for him to recover. The Bible says that the word of God came and said, yes, he would recover. But even after the word of the Lord came to restore his life, he still had to take the medicine. So I know you have received the word that you're going to be healed. I know you have received the word that you have been healed. But if you have been prescribed medication, please take your medication. Unless your faith level, I know there are people who have stopped taking medication, and I have personally seen in their own life that their faith has healed them. I know somebody personally who, you know what, their faith has healed them, and the doctor said take medication, and they believed expressly the word of God that said they should not take medication, and they have been healed. Until today, there has been not one return of that ailment, because of the power of God at work and because of their faith. But some of you, the Bible says that some of you, your faith is weak. Don't compare. I can't be in the same house as my husband. Now, when these whole things are going around and people are having cold and flu and all that, sometimes I have it. I'm there in the bed, I'm shaking. And my husband, who sleeps on the same bed next to me, is bouncing up and down, you know, not even one sneeze. So am I going to now say, compare myself to my husband? To say, because my husband is not taking medicine, I won't take medicine. In fact, he will bring the medicine for me. And he'll say, my husband will say, have you taken the paracetamol? I'll say, no, he'll get it for me. So stop comparing yourself to people. If Sister X was healed by the power of God, we bless God for her life. If you need to take your medicine for you to get your healing, better take your medicine. I hope somebody is getting blessed. We're speaking about rest and taking care of yourself. Amen. It's okay to take your medicine. Yes, Reverend Israel says that there is alcohol in many drugs. It was for medication and not for recreational enjoyment. It's true, because if you take alcohol for recreational enjoyment, it can increase your risk of liver cirrhosis. Just you name it, it can damage you, and even cancers as well. So we're coming to a close, but I have a few more points and we're going to pray. Now, another thing for rest is in Mark chapter 1 verse 35. The Bible says that in the morning, Mark chapter 1 verse 35, in the morning, Jesus Christ rose a long while before day, and he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Me time. Somebody say me time. It's okay to have me time. It doesn't matter if you're married or you're single, or you're searching, or it's complicated, or you're a single mom, or a single dad. Every single person needs me time. Everybody needs me time. Even Jesus Christ always had me time. I know the Bible shows how he was always surrounded by disciples, he was healing people. But the reason he was able to do all those things was because he always had me time. He always had time for him and the Father alone. If you need to get somebody to babysit for you, somebody that you trust, go ahead. And if you don't have anybody that you think you can find, can you put it in prayers and prayerfully consider somebody who can just take your kids off you for a little while. Take some time off. If you're married, your husband or your wife can take care of themselves. You don't have to get someone to babysit them. They can take care of themselves. Go away. Take me time. Cook food. Put it in the freezer. Let them sort themselves out. They can use a microwave if you're a woman, you know, and you're a homekeeper. Have me time. Be jealous for your me time and switch off your phone. Nobody's going to die. They haven't died before. They're not going to die now that you're away. I've got three more points and I'm going to bring this to a close. And I really hope you've been blessed by today. And I hope you've been taking points. Please don't forget, after this, you need to share and go back and listen again. Now, I love this one. I love it so much. I'm going to ask you to guys to open your Bible and read it. This is from Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. I'm very aware that this is a captivating meeting, but we have men joining. But I want to address this, especially for women. Luke chapter 13, verse 32. And I know it applies to men as well. Verse 31, sorry. Luke chapter 13, verses 31 to 32. It says, on that very day, some Pharisees came to Jesus Christ and said to him, get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. And I love verse 32. Like, I want to do the splits right now. Oh, verse 32 gives me shivers in my bones, and I'm actually not exaggerating. I love the response of Jesus. He said to them, go tell that fox. Oh my Lord, oh my word. This was the Pharisees coming to Jesus Christ about Herod, who wants to kill him, aka somebody who hates him. And his response was, go tell that fox. His response was that, oh no, I want you to like me. Why don't people like me? Huh? Ladies, you want everybody to like you. Is it? You want everybody to like you. You're a pastor's wife. You want the whole church to like you. You want everybody to call you mommy. Is it? You want everybody to call you Pastor Mrs. You want everybody to love you. It's not possible. You need to wake up and smell whatever you want to smell. If it's the coffee you want to smell, go ahead and smell it. But it is not possible for everyone to like you. It is not possible for everyone in your place of work to like you. There will be people who hate you. There will be the haters. Can you not pay attention to the haters? There will be those who say, look at her. She's single. Yeah, she's always greeting all the men. Yes, I want to greet all the men. They will misunderstand your friendliness. There are those who will see you as a married woman and say, look at her. She's not even submitting to her husband. Are you in my house? Do you know what I'm doing in my home with my husband? There are those that will see you and say, look at her skirt. Her skirt is too short. Whether my skirt is too short or not, if your skirt is too short, you shouldn't be wearing a skirt that is too short. But I divert. But the point I'm trying to make is, there will be those who, whatever you do, they won't like you. Why expend your energy? Oh, why expend your well-deserved time of rest? Why expend your well-deserved mind sanity focusing on the haters? Jesus Christ said, go and tell that fox. In fact, he's a fox. I'm not going to... do you know, Jesus Christ did not go directly to Herod to talk to Herod. He didn't. He called him a fox. It's okay for you to ignore the foxes in your life. It's okay for people not to like you and for you not to care. Now, there's a balance to that. I am not saying go around creating enemies. If you have a problem with your character, if everybody around you, your pastor, your teachers, your leaders, your mentors have told you about your character, then this does not apply to you. You need to work on your character because you don't want to increase your haters for no reason. Jesus Christ did not have haters for the sake of having haters. So that's not the point I'm trying to make. Don't say, yes, 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 I have haters and I'm loving it. That's not my point. There is a balance. Jesus Christ had haters for a specific reason, because he was doing the will of God. He was doing the right thing. So if you are doing the right thing and you have haters, if you're flashing out there, you know, you're honor God and you're doing your business and people are hating on you and saying, it's like you to go and sit down and just focus on reading your Bible. No, I'm reading my Bible and I am doing my honor God business. If you don't like it, then go tell that fox. So, ladies and gentlemen, You want to have rest. You want to have peace of mind. Stop making everybody like you. Do you know what? And stop thinking about those who don't like you. What is your business with their face? You know, can I just tell you something about me? I don't unblock, I don't unfriend people. I know people like to, the moment they don't like you, they unfriend you, they unblock, they block you, they do all these childish things. You don't have to do all that. All you need to do is unfollow them. You don't have to keep seeing their hateful posts on social media. If you want to unfriend them, you can go ahead and unfriend them, but I don't think it's necessary. It's not necessary. If they want to unfriend them, unfriend you, but you don't have to be the one to stoop so low. Stop stalking their face. You know they don't like you. You know they hate you. Every time you... Yes, people hate people. The Bible talks about how even David was hated by Saul. So hate is not... is reality. Is the reality. Is the fact of life. But you don't be the one who hates people. Don't be a hater. If you're a hater, you need to repent. It's a sin. The Bible tells you to love your neighbor, love your enemy. So as Christians, our responsibility is that of love. But we are not responsible for other people's decisions. So you as a Christian should not go around hating people. But if people hate you, go tell that fox. But don't focus on them. Don't be thinking about them and worrying. What do they think about you? The Bible says, Elijah said to Gehazi, that God will open your eyes that you may see that those that are for you are more than those that are against you. Sisters, that is your testimony. Those that are for you are greater. Leave the haters alone. Somebody put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Leave the haters. Let them keep hating. You keep shining. Amen. Amen. Now, Mark chapter 4, verse 40. You don't have to turn there for the sake of time because we're going to spend only an hour, roughly about an hour today. The Bible says that Jesus Christ went to go and raise a girl from the dead. And there was so much commotion. There was so much weeping. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and he saw a tumult and he saw them weeping and he saw them wailing loudly. And then Jesus Christ said, Jesus Christ took them away. He asked them to leave. Let me read it. Let me read this. I don't want to misquote the scripture. Mark chapter 5, verse 37. In verse 40 says that they ridiculed him. There was commotion. There was wailing. There were things that were choking his faith. There was demonic activity of fear. You know what? If there is demonic activity or fear around you, you cannot focus. Oh, but I love this. It says, and they ridiculed him, full stop. You know, you don't start a sentence with full stop. But the Bible wants to make a point. They ridiculed him, full stop. And a new sentence starts. And he says, but when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, aka Peter, James, and John. And they entered where the child was lying down. And he said unto the child, Talitha kumi, which is saying, little girl, I say unto you, arise. And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. You cannot be in the same place as fear, as commotion, as tumult. You have to stop reading, opening videos, reading messages of calamity, of war. These things will tamper with your brain. These things will make you wake up anxious. Stop watching movies about how men cheat on their husbands, on their wives, or how men cheat on their wives. Stop watching those movies. Because you're going to think that all men cheat. You're going to become anxious. You need to push those things away. The Bible says that he removed the people that were causing commotion. He removed the people who were causing wailing, those that were causing fear. Stop watching movies about men abusing their children, about wives absentee mothers. Stop watching movies about women dying in childbirth. What is your business with those movies? Stop reading unnecessary. Stop. Your news is not social media. Your news is not the WhatsApp platform. Stop reading things on WhatsApp that tell you how people are. Somebody, how Corona knocked on somebody's door. Somebody opened the door. Corona said, "Hey, I'm Corona," and choked the person. The person died. How do you come up with those news? There are authentic websites if you want to find about COVID-19. There are authentic news sites for you to find about the vaccines that are coming out. Stop using WhatsApp. Stop using whatever forms of these funny news avenues as your avenues for news. The Bible says that he took them out. And when he took them out, his faith level went to an all-time high. And he said to a dead 12-year-old, he said unto her, "Talitha kumi, arise." He did not even have to lay hands on her. He just spoke the word. And the Bible says immediately she arose and she walked. Your faith level is dying. Some of you are falling sick. Even before sickness comes to you, you are getting sick. Let me tell you a personal story about my own life. When I was getting married, please let me just explain very well before I say this story. I never slept with my husband before I got married. I got married as a virgin, and I'm not saying this to boast or anything, but I want to say this because I want to explain this thing. But I had to start my contraception a week before I got married, but it did not come into place. I didn't have to use it. I didn't do anything that I needed contraception for. And I'm not saying that if anybody did your sinning, because you've asked God for forgiveness and he has forgiven you, and everybody is new in Christ. So I am not condemning anybody's past, but I've just said that just to draw a bit of a background, because people know how to pick and copy and paste sometimes by accident. And I read the information leaflet about the side effects of the medication I was going to take. And I lie not to you, before I even took one medication, I started experiencing all the symptoms on the medication leaflet. I lie not to you. Before I ever popped one pill, most of the symptoms, most of the side effects that I read that I could have with this medication, I started having them before I ever even took one medication. The power of the mind. And so do you know what happened? I now realize, I was like, so this is how this thing works. The mind is powerful. And so I adjusted my mindset, not the medication. I spoke to my mind and I was like, thank God I had the symptoms before I started the medication. Because if it was the other way around, I would have stopped it thinking that it was because of the medication, but it was because of my mind. And so when I made an adjustment to my mind and I started taking the medication, the symptoms left. The power of the mind. My husband has said this many times when he has been preaching, that some people have got sicknesses in their body, HIV. Some people have got cancers and they don't even realize, and they are walking around, they are well. The moment they get the doctor's report, that is when their symptoms manifest. I want to beg us, I want to indulge us and ask us in this season, please stop reading and stop watching certain videos that will pollute your mind and that will affect your mind. Two more points and I bring this to a close. You want to have rest, you want to have peace of mind, be organized. Stop leaving things to the last minute. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 2, this was when Jesus Christ was going to ride on a donkey. He did not wait till he needed to ride on the donkey before he asked the disciples to go and get the donkey for him to ride on. But he asked them ahead of time. He said, "Go to this place, both of you, and you will find a colt tied. Loose the colt and bring the donkey to me." Jesus Christ was not running around last minute. Where's my ride? Where's my Uber? It's not on your wedding day you start to organize your wedding vehicle. It's not on your wedding day you start to try your dress on. It's not on your wedding day you realize that I am color 12. I am not color 13. These are not the things that you do on your wedding day. It's not on the day of the interview you iron your outfit. It's not on the day of the interview you find the tube or the journey times. It's not when you're on the way to the bus stop you know how many minutes or how far your place of interview is from your house. You do these things beforehand. It helps your sanity, helps your peace of mind. So don't leave things to last minute. Another example is from Luke chapter 22, verse 8. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "Go and prepare the Passover that we may eat. Go and prepare the upper room." They did not go and stand outside the door of the upper room and start knocking and say, "Hello, hello, is there space?" No, they didn't do that. They had prepared ahead of time. And finally, I come to the close. And my last point for today is from Mark chapter 2, verse 13. Mark chapter 2, verse 13. It says that as it happened, he was dining in Levi's house, and there were many tax collectors and sinners also with Jesus and his disciples, and there were many, and they followed him. Have friends. Have relationships. I know there are certain of us who are like pastors, who everybody is always drawing from us. You know, it can be where you have no one to really laugh to. So you have people who are pulling from you, and then you have people that you are drawing from, but you don't have peers. You don't have people that you can laugh around with. It's a dangerous place to be. So find friends, look for friends, look for godly friends. And if you're looking for friends, Captivating, I'm not doing this to advertise, but Captivating, we have a monthly program called Girl Talk, where we as ladies, we just come together, we laugh, we talk about, I am not pastor in those days, in those times. The people call me Pat just out of respect, but I laugh like Ajoke. I am just myself, and we laugh together. We let our head down. It's a pity we are not actually meeting in person, but we're just meeting online. So please, we'll advertise that at the end. But if you can join, it's a community of friends. Friendship is good. And I want to round up by saying, for those of you who are struggling to sleep, I had this very clearly in my heart when I was preparing. There are certain ladies or there maybe certain men who are watching who suffer with anxiety, who suffer with depression. I already spoke to you earlier on about going to see your doctor. I'm not asking you to go on antidepressants. That's not what I'm saying. But go and see your doctor. There are different things that we can offer you. There's CBT, there's counseling. You please make the most and take those opportunities and take what we can offer you. But if you struggle to sleep at night, there is things that you can go on the internet and read about. It's called sleep hygiene. So it tells you what you should avoid. So read up about sleep hygiene, and it will tell you how you can have a good night's sleep. And if you're still struggling with that, like I said, please really go and see your doctor, and you should aim to have about 6 to 9 hours of sleep a night. I know for some people that's like, oh, what, where did you get that from? But that's ideal. Okay. Oh, we've got my mom on the line. We've got my mom. If you can just shout out to my mom. Mom, thank you for joining. I don't know if daddy is watching as well, but it's been a pleasure being with you all today. We've come to the end. I've had so much fun talking to us about rest, the power of rest. I want you to go back after we have finished today and just go and listen again. I'm going to recap very quickly just the points that I had mentioned at the very beginning as we bring this to a close, just honoring my parents at the moment. And I'm going to recap the points very quickly, and we are going to pray, and we're going to call it a day. So to recap the points very quickly, you don't have to engage in every argument that comes your way. Stop wasting your energy. Understand that no is a language. It's okay to say no. Understand that you don't have to go for every party. You don't have to go for every conference. It's okay not to go everywhere, and you don't always have to have a reason not to go. It's okay just to stay in your bed and not go anywhere. Understand the power of delegation. God has not called you to be a superwoman or a superman. It's okay for you to delegate. Get somebody to do the things for you that you cannot do by yourself. Understand the power of sleep. The Bible says it is vain for you to rise up early and sit up late. Get at least 7 to 9 hours of sleep. And if you can't go that far, start off with however amount you can get. Small sleep is better than no sleep. Okay, make sure you see your doctor. Make sure you take the medicines that have been prescribed for you. It's biblical. Jesus Christ said, those that are well don't need a physician, but those that are sick. Those are the words of Jesus Christ in red. Okay, and I've said to you about you don't have to go everywhere. And you should also understand that it's okay to have me time where you leave your children at home with somebody, you leave your spouse, and you just have me time, just you and God, enjoying the sound mind and the serenity. He says he leads me beside the still waters. It is God's will for you to lay beside still waters. And remember, we spoke about the fox. It's okay to have haters. You don't be a hater, but it's okay if you have haters. Don't focus on the haters. Jesus Christ said, go tell that fox. So it's okay to say, go tell that fox. They don't have to like you. Stop reading bad news. It's not every post that you get on your phone or you see on social media you have to open. You have to guard your heart very jealously. It's okay. I didn't say this, but it's okay to cry. It's okay to vent. Jesus Christ, in John 11:35, it says Jesus Christ wept. It's okay to cry. It's not a sin. It's letting off some steam. Okay, and remember, we also spoke about it's good to get yourself organized. Stop leaving things till last minute. It will affect your sanity. It will affect your rest. And don't forget to always spend time with friends and get time to laugh. So we've come to the end of today's captivating monthly meeting. And I hope you've been blessed. And I hope you have really enjoyed today's session. We'll be back again next month. I'm not sure what date that is, but next month it will be the third Saturday of the month. Let me just get the date for you. October, that will be the 17th of October. As God gives us the grace, we'll be back again at 11:45. And I think I have a very special guest who will be joining us. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but we'll be coming to you with something very special. So it's been my pleasure hosting you all. And I want to say thank you all. And God bless you. Tonight at 9 p.m., we're going to be praying for our children. As always, we're praying for a generation of children, for them to seek the face of God. God bless you all. And till we meet again next month, God bless you. We've got church tomorrow at 1 p.m. Don't forget to come on the same platform on YouTube, and your life will never remain the same in the name of Jesus. Amen. Love you all, and God be with you. Amen.